I'll get us a towel. Good morning.
Good morning.
glad to see all of you here this morning. Glad to see so many of you in red. I know that we sent something out during the week. Today on the church calendar is Pentecost Sunday, and the Sunday that we will focus especially on the Holy Spirit and the fact that that he came and gave gifts, just as we've been studying in our sermons. Glad to see so many visitors too. Welcome to all who are here. Welcome all you who are on Zoom. We are here to worship the Lord. And I am not going to go through any of the announcements. You've got a bulletin. You had the things up on the screen. But if there's anything that somebody would like to have highlighted or something new that we need to share with the whole group, please feel free to go ahead and share it with us at the moment. Okay. Then I think we're ready to go ahead and start worshiping. I'll just invite you to calm your hearts and your minds, leave all of the distractions behind, and let's focus on the Lord. Let's pray. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Thank you for bringing us here today so that we can demonstrate to you just how worthy you are of our worship. We come not as an obligation, but we come desiring, eager to sit in your presence with other members of our family, our church family, as we all lift up each other, lift up our praises to you, and gather to hear your word. Father, I pray that everything that we do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able for our call to worship. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 108. Where we read, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And I would add, "O God, let your Holy Spirit be over all this congregation this morning."
Nothing worth more that could ever come close.
tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. Where's my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, let us become more.
So we're going to read from Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This song is a reminder that even during life's challenges, uncertainties, and fears, there's a name that can bring peace, healing, and salvation.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Thank you. shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Take a few minutes to greet your neighbor and some of your new neighbors.
Well, let's take a few moments now to share praises and prayer requests. What kind of praises do we have from this past week?
It's good to be here in the house.
Amen. Thank you.
I've been blessed this week. Tom and I celebrated our 32nd anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Any other praises? Yes.
praises of all of our graduates.
Yes.
Olivia and Nick, Ben, Emma. Who else? There's got to be one more. But just
those were, Rebecca from college as well.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So just feel very blessed to sit in a church with all these fine young people.
Yeah. And it was quite a blessing to be able to watch the live stream. I mean, if you couldn't be there, I was able to watch the live stream and see every one of them as they walked. So you felt like you were there. So that was wonderful. Any other praises? Yes.
It was nice to be able to celebrate Adam's birthday, although he was busy all day long. We didn't get to do much celebrating then, but it's still nice to celebrate Adam's birthday. So.
Happy birthday. Any others? Yes. Okay. Oh.
You're stealthy.
I just want to thank all those who sent a card to Christy, the pastor's wife who's going through cancer. She was very appreciative, so thank you.
Any other praises or also prayer requests? Oh, okay.
Another praise, just it was beautiful. The weather's been gorgeous. There's been some outside things that have been happening in the sunshine, and there was breezes happening at times, yeah. So it was just really gorgeous. I know we're supposed to get more rain today, but I've appreciated the nice weather while it's been here.
Yeah.
And then from Zoom, some prayer requests that Jim, again, keep in mind the craft fair coming up next week, that his knee holds up moving all his gear, and that just everything goes well for him with that.
Do you mind if I ask Jim, have you received any help? See if he responds. That in the meantime, we'll get the other prayer request here. Good.
Prayer request for our nation. Today we're celebrating a Jewish holiday, Shavuot, and this country
today is just raging with anti-Semitism and Jew hatred. You have college campuses where Jewish people cannot go to class safely. We had two people shot outside the Jewish Museum in Washington. Those two people happen to have been ready to be engaged to be married, and also they're Messianic Jews, the Jews that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then we had people burned up with an attack. One of them was a Holocaust survivor. The chant that you hear from the river to the sea is not a two-state solution. It's that the Jewish people are wiped out. And it puts me in the mind of Psalm 83, and I'm paraphrasing, Lord, raise your hand against the people who hate Israel, because there are people who are saying that Israel should be wiped out and never remembered. So we need to speak up and pray against this.
Okay, so we'll pray for the nation. Any other? Go ahead.
I have a work friend, Bob, who is getting biopsy results at the end of this coming week. So pray that they are favorable.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Did we get a response? Okay. He has not received any help. Okay. So don't forget, we'll pray, but I'm going to be praying for the Lord to lead some of us to help him out. He needs to get his equipment and so forth over to that craft fair. And he does not have a vehicle, so he needs a little help there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you first of all for just giving us this new day. We thank you that we have an opportunity to get up and to take a breath, step out of bed. You give us all those blessings that we take for granted. And that we all came here today to serve you and to worship you and to glorify you. And Father, at this time then, we glorify you by recognizing that you're in control, and we're coming to you with these things that that are outside of our control. Help us to remember to come to you even when we do feel like we can control things, that we ask that you would lead us. But these things that we can't do anything about, we ask for you to intervene. We ask for you to reveal very clearly the results of this biopsy for Bob, so that there would be no confusion, no doubt, no misunderstanding, no delay in recovery or in treatment. We pray for Jim and for his knee, that you would give him strength to be able to man his tent at this craft fair. But I also pray, Lord, that you would stir in the rest of his body, this church body, the will to and the resources to help him out, to get that tent and get all of his equipment over there to the craft fair, and then get him back home as well. If there are obstacles, Lord, I pray that you'll remove them. Open the door, help us to help him so that we can all serve you. And Father, we pray for our nation, we pray for the world. We pray, we know that we are in a broken world with broken people. And we know that you are the answer and you have the solution. But Father, I pray that you would soften hearts while we are here and we live through this turmoil and live through this tribulation. I pray that you would still affect us, change us, so that we can recognize the value of everyone, and so that we can show more unity instead of divisiveness. Help us to unify as a church body, and just as a people. I pray for safety for all who speak up. I pray that all of us would become more tolerant in the sense of just being able to listen, being able to talk, and differences of opinion don't equate to hate. These are things that we can't control on our own. Our natural body, our sinful self, wants to get angry, wants to get revenge, wants to get vengeance. So, Father, I pray that you and your Holy Spirit just soak us more with your peace and your love and your understanding. Father, I thank you for the way you provide for us. We thank you for the income you have provided in so many different ways, and we've given a portion back. Not just what's left at the bottom of the list, but Father, I pray that it's been right off the top, because all of it came from you in the first place. And so we give it back, not as an obligation, but as an act of worship. We thank you, and we give you praise through our offering, Lord. And now, Lord, as I prepare to let you use me as your mouthpiece, I pray that you will guide my thoughts, guide my words, and that you will open our ears and our hearts so that we will be not just hearers, but doers of your word. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our children, age 5 to 5th grade, are dismissed for children's church. And I want to share a story with you that I found from an author. I don't know anything really about this author, Leslie B. Flynn, other than I know that she has a few books. One of her books was about spiritual gifts. But she writes a story in one of those books where she imagines a conference being held by the tools in the Divine Carpenter's workshop. And the conference begins with Brother Hammer presiding. And there's already trouble. Several of the tools have suggested that Brother Hammer should leave the meeting because he's just way too noisy. Well, Brother Hammer replied, "Well, if I have to leave this shop, then Brother Screw needs to go too, because you have to turn him around and again just to get him to accomplish anything." And Brother Screw then spoke up. "Well, I'll leave if you want me to, but Brother Plain has to leave too. All of his work is just on the surface. His efforts don't have any depth." To which Brother Plain responded, "Well, Brother Ruler is going to have to withdraw also, because he's always measuring folks up as though he were the only one who's right." Brother Ruler then complained against Brother Sandpaper. "You ought to leave too, because you're just so rough, and you always rub people the wrong way." And in the midst of all of that discussion, in walked the Carpenter of Nazareth. He had arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he went to the bench. He was going to make a pulpit to stand behind while proclaiming the gospel. He used the hammer, the screw, the plane, the ruler, the sandpaper, and lots of other tools that were there in his workshop. And at the end of the day, when the pulpit was finished, Brother Saul stood up, arose, and remarked, "Brothers, I observe that all of us are workers together with the Lord." That's exactly what Paul's emphasizing in today's scripture text, our continuation of this part of the letter where Paul is talking to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts. The members of the Corinthian church are measuring each other up based on their spiritual gifts. Some are suggesting that certain gifts are better than others. Some are saying that only certain gifts should be included in their congregation. They sounded a lot like these tools in the carpenter's shop. And in fact, they are just like the tools in the carpenter's shop, in the sense that every single person with their own unique gifting was necessary for the church. As one unified group, to work with the Lord and to be used by the Lord. The Holy Spirit builds unity through diversity. And we'll continue our reading, our study of 1 Corinthians, as we pick up today, right after he has talked about some of these high-profile gifts that some of them are bragging about. We're in chapter 12. Starting in verse 12 as well, where he continues this thought by writing, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." And you're going to hear him repeat this. He's very good at saying something, then saying it backwards and saying it again, just to make sure he gets the point across. But he's talking about how there's a body. He's going to use the metaphor now of your physical body. You have one body, and it has lots of parts. But all those parts make one body. And then he reminds us that it's going to be just like it is with Christ. And he's going to show us how. "For we were all baptized, immersed, drenched, soaked in by with one Spirit, so as to form one body." Now, I'm going to pause there because it's been many, many weeks. We kind of took a detour. I jumped us to chapter 15 right after Easter so we could talk about resurrection and come back here. Now, he's talking here about this, this baptizing of one Spirit. And he says, and you'll see at the end of the verse there, "We were all given the one Spirit to drink." He has just recently, just back in chapter 10, just to remind you, he was talking about the history of Israel, and he mentioned how they were all eating the same spiritual food, they drank the same spiritual drink, "For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." That wasn't that far, that long ago in this letter. It just feels like it because we've spread it out so many weeks between these two chapters. But they're still thinking about all of that. They're still remembering that when he talks about how they were given the one spirit to drink. Now, in the middle of this verse here, he's talking about how we're formed as one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, labels that would divide people. Whether Gentiles or Jews, slave or free, Republican or Democrat, perhaps Israeli or Palestinian, labels that just by the words themselves just immediately divide people. People who wouldn't normally have any reason to be together in regular society other than now their oneness in Christ. They have now formed one body. Verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. He's going back. Just keeps reminding you. I think we got it, Paul. But he's going to tell us again and again. Many parts, a lot of diversity, one body, unity. So then, just like any good parent, there's many times you've probably said something, if you're a parent, you've probably told your kids something and you've explained it to them, and maybe like he did, you said it one way, you came back, you said it the other way, and you look at them and they're just kind of, and you realize it didn't get through. They're not understanding what I'm saying. Paul wants to make sure that they're not just sitting there with that same look. He says, okay, I'm going to break it down for you. He gives this metaphor. Now, if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Just because you say you're not part of the body doesn't make it so. I think of many years ago, hashtag not my president. Yes, he is, even if you don't like him. And then when the next one was elected, okay, he's your president, even if some other people don't like him. There's just by saying it's not so doesn't make it not so. So the foot can't say, well, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to this body. Now, I get it. I get why the foot might be saying that. Let's put ourselves in the foot's shoes. Think about how the foot's probably a little bit jealous. I mean, if I'm going to go meet somebody, got some new visitors, some new friends here this morning. If I walk over and I want to greet them like I did earlier, the foot is helping me get there, right? But we're not even thinking about that, right? When I get there, I'm going to extend my hand, right? I think they'd probably turn around and leave if I said, let's shake feet, right? I'm going to shake hands with them. The hand gets all the credit. If it's a guy that I might know a little bit, maybe I'm going to give him that old bro hug. You know, we use both hands. Or maybe somebody's got a picture of their dog. Maybe Nathan's got a picture of his girlfriend, right? She's still a girlfriend? Okay. And girlfriend, and he wants me to see. And so I'm going to come over. The foot's going to get me there. But I'm going to reach out, right? He's going to give me his phone. I'm going to look at his phone. I'm going to swipe the, oh, man, she is nice. How you guys doing? Real good, good. Okay, great. I give him back the phone. I'm using my hands, right? I see somebody back in the back. I haven't seen Rich in a while. Hey, Rich. I'm going to wave with my hand, right? Hey, Rich. The hand gets all the attention, right? But the foot is getting me there. The foot's doing a lot of the work to keep things moving. Don't forget, Paul's using a metaphor here. He's talking about the congregation, trying to remind them that some people get attention. I'm probably considered a hand. I get some attention just naturally by the gift that God has given me. But there's a whole lot of other members of the body that have made sure that things got moving, that things are done so that we can keep moving as a body. There's somebody in here all week cleaning, keeping things looking nice. There's people who take care of making sure the flowers are up here and that they're changed when they need to be. I don't know if you noticed, but that isn't the same color as it was last week. Somebody took care of changing that. None of this was me, right? But come Sunday morning, I'm the one that gets the attention. I'm the hand, right? And so some people might get upset. If they're the foot and they keep things going And they're saying, well, nobody's really noticing me. Or maybe it's not even that. Maybe they're not upset about that. But they just don't feel like I'm not much here. I just don't do much here. I don't belong with this body. He's going to make sure you know you're just as valuable as the hands guy up here getting the attention. He's got the same idea here in verse 16. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Same deal. You call your date, you call somebody up, right? You talk about want to meet. Well, let's meet for dinner. You're calling your date. The ear had to be involved to get you there, but you don't think about that. You get to the date, get to the restaurant, you sit down across from each other, and all you can do is stare in each other's ears. No, you stare in their eyes. That's what's getting the attention, but the ears needed to be involved to get you there. So the ear has no right, no reason, you know, to feel this way, to say that since I'm not an eye, I don't belong to this body. And by just saying it doesn't make it true. So he goes on in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, okay, that sounds like something from a low-budget sci-fi horror movie, some huge eyeball with a little vein hanging out the back, and all it can do is just stare at you with big pupil. But it's not, if it's just an eye, first of all, there's no brain attached. It can't process what it's even seeing. It has no idea what it's seeing. It's just seeing images. It can't look. It's got a stare. It can't move. There's no hand to roll it. There's no foot to lean it. He's being a little graphic here, but it makes sense. I mean, if it's just an eye, all you can do is see, and you can't do anything else with that information, what you're seeing. There are so many other parts needed in order to do anything about what that eyeball is seeing. And it says, if it were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? He's forgetting about, not forgetting, but he doesn't even list all the other things. Where would the hearing be? If you got an eye, you can't hear anything. If the whole body were an ear, can you imagine staring into the great big ear? Where would the sense of smell be? So he's really exaggerating here, making a very, very strong point for the people that hopefully they're getting this, that hopefully they're recognizing the correlation between these parts of a physical body and how they themselves are involved in the body of Christ. But he goes on then in verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So he put all the parts of your body together just the way he wanted it to be. That's what it means on the surface. Think about the metaphor again. But in fact, God has placed you in the body, every one of you, just as he wanted you to be. God has you here for a reason. He's placed you in this body for a reason. Now remember, he doesn't put you somewhere without equipping you. That was the whole point of all of this. He gives you some gifts, then puts you where he wants you to be, just as he wanted you to be. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? If this was the first Gloria Smith Church of Palmyra, where all of us were Gloria Smiths, well, first of all, we'd be the most tender, gentle church, we'd be a wonderful church. But we'd all be able to play the organ. That'd be great. We'd be a very musical church. But we know that maybe, I don't know, I can't even, now I shouldn't have used you because I can't even think of any things you can't do. But, oh, I know, we wouldn't have a softball team. Would that be fair? Okay, we wouldn't have a softball team. We wouldn't have a softball team. There'd be so many other things that we probably would. We can't all be the same, right? That's his point. That there's so many parts. If we were all one part, what we'd be able to do one thing, that's all we could focus on, and that wouldn't be productive because we couldn't do anything else with it, just like the eye or the ear. As it is, verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Just in case you didn't get that, Paul thought he'd repeat it again. Many parts, one body. Now, he's been addressing those people who have felt like, for some reason, oh, woe is me, the Eeyores in the congregation that just don't feel like they belong. They have these thoughts of my gift isn't good enough, I don't have a gift, whatever it might be. But now he's going to address the people who maybe are causing some of that, some of the people who are demeaning others because they don't have this wonderful gift that they have. He's going to address these people who are bragging about their gifts and using them in the wrong way. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So you've got those high-profile gifts. You've got these parts of the body that trying to say that somebody else in the congregation or some other part of your body isn't necessary. I mean, if the eye says, I don't need you, hand, yes, we could get by, but the only way I'm going to be able to eat my breakfast is if I stick my face in my cereal bowl or if I have to turn the pages of my Bible with my nose. Now, I know there are people who do find ways to live. They aren't able to use parts of their body, and so I'm not making fun of them at all. But the point is that I could still get by. I would be, no pun intended, I would be limping through. I would be surviving, but I wouldn't be thriving. It's the same way with the church. Now, we can get by without your gifts. Maybe there's some who just aren't using their gift, don't think they have a gift. I've mentioned that before. Every one of you has a gift, remember. But if you're not using them, then we're getting by, but we're like turning the pages with our nose. We're limping through. We're surviving, but we're not thriving. That's where we need to make sure that we've got all of these parts of the body working together. Verse 22, on the contrary, when he's talking, he had just talked about parts saying that they don't want the other parts. We don't need you. We need everybody, he's saying. So he's saying, 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Weaker parts, probably talking about things like fingers, toes. We know that if you lose a toe, particularly a big toe, I think that's the one that you're going to have a lot of trouble with balance, right? If for some reason you have to lose a toe. Your fingers are awfully important. Anytime you do something to your index finger, you don't think about it much until you hurt it. And then when you go to start typing, you realize I just typed, man, that hurts. You get home, you pull out the keys, you go to unlock. Oh, that hurts too. Everything, you realize how often you use that little finger. Even though it's not much, I could probably do without it. No. All these parts, they're all important. Can you imagine Daniel trying to play the piano wearing mittens? We're not going to wish him losing fingers. He's got a pair of mittens on. And so he can't use his fingers, he can only use mittens. I don't think our songs are going to sound quite as good as they usually do if he's trying to play the piano with mittens. Now, he's a clever guy. He's going to figure out a way. And I know he's probably going to pull out a pair of scissors and cut the end off the mittens so he can use his fingers. But the point is, if you can't use your fingers, you're not as productive as you were before. We need all these different parts. The parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We need them. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat, or that word, Greek word, can also mean clothe. We treat or clothe with special honor. The less honorable parts, the parts we don't think about much. Who in here within the last 90 days has had a conversation with anybody, including your doctor, about your spleen? That's a less honorable part because it doesn't get much attention. Unless it's got a problem, that's when the doctor starts talking to you about it. But that's what he's talking about. In some of our internal organs, liver, spleen, things that we just don't talk about much. They don't get much honor. And yet, we treat them, clothe them with more honor, with special honor, by covering them. Especially those who are putting their bodies in danger, right? It's people who have to put on Kevlar, or an athlete who might put on a flak jacket, something to protect those things that they know that are in there that might be considered less honorable. They're not talked about much, but they're given special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Hottest of days, you're going to go hit the swimming pool. There's at least certain parts that still need to be covered when you go. There needs to be. We treat them with special modesty. Verse 24, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. So he's talking about how, he's been talking about diversity. We've got all these different parts. We've got all these different gifts. They come together. They're to be, when they're used together, they're used in unity. But he talks about how, again, there's many parts. So he wants to make sure we're not talking about uniformity, not all of them alike, cloning, anything like that. Diversity, unity, not uniformity. Now he's talking about equality. The fact that there are certain parts of our body, certain parts of the church, that get attention anyway. Then there are others where we treat them, we clothe them with special honor or special modesty. And the word special there, in other words, they get some extra attention. They get special attention in order to make sure they're recognized to be as valuable as those ones that are normally presentable and receive special treatment, receive visibility. That's just a reminder for us to every now and then to thank those people who are the feet, who are here keeping things going behind the scenes, people who don't normally get any kind of recognition, but how every single person in the congregation is valuable and provides value as individual parts brings value to the entire body. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. There he goes again, unity. But that its parts should have equal concern, equality, for each other. And the fact that there's parts, the diversity. There he goes again, you notice, with his unity, diversity, and equality message. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We know that whenever we hurt a part of our body, it tends to affect the whole body. We feel the pain throughout. When I had my hip problem last year and I would walk differently to compensate, well, then of course there were other parts of the body that started to hurt. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. Don't forget he's talking about people too, about congregation. These people lived together. They did life together as a group. They were smaller as a community. There was only one church, so they knew each other very well. When I was at Cumberland Vista, when we were there as house parents, of course, we did life with them. We were 24/7 with them, got to know them very well. Of course, just about 6 months after I took the job, COVID hit, and we got to know them really, really well because they couldn't go anywhere, we couldn't go anywhere. I ended up being their worship service. We were the worship the worship service on Sunday mornings with them. They didn't, you know, it was all right there, but you got to know them. And to the point too where, like, if the one resident, he would come out, and we had one guy who was a diehard Pittsburgh Pirates fan. Another one was a diehard Philadelphia Phillies fan. So the Pirates, he was a little shrewder than the other one. He would come out some mornings, and I knew, I caught on to this pretty quickly. He would come out in the morning, and And he'd say something like, boy, did you see how those Cardinals did last night? He's not a Cardinals fan. What is he? Oh, wait a minute. So I get on the line real quick. I bet they played the Phillies, didn't they? Yep. So he's coming out. He's jabbing at the Phillies guy without really making it obvious. But we caught on by getting to know him, by getting to know them. Same thing here. We need to be knowing one another well enough that when one suffers, we know about it and we suffer with them. Do we come together on Sunday morning as a collection of individuals, or do we come together as one body that suffers when another person suffers? That's why I asked Jim if he's received any help with the craft fair that he's going to. That needs to be a concern of all of ours. It's a part of our body that needs help. I've said before, if the church is operating the way it's supposed to, and this example, for instance, too, if the church is operating the way it's supposed to, there shouldn't be anybody in the church who is suffering for very long. I mean, hardships come, things happen, pain happens, hurt happens, hardship happens, but the body ought to know about it, and the body ought to take care of it. If I'm going to go try to lift that podium with my left arm or with my hand, if I try to lift this podium with my hand, I can't do much. So then I use my arm and my back, and I still can't get it, so I get the other arm and the other part of my shoulder and back. The whole body gets involved in moving the podium if that one hand can't do it. We got to come together as a family, as one body, so that when one part suffers, all parts suffer and get rid of the suffering as much as we can. Same way, if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We ought to know about it. When we mentioned the graduates, thank you for mentioning that. I mean, that's where we rejoice, because a part, four parts, five parts of our body had something that they were excited about this past week. They had an accomplishment that they have achieved. And we can all rejoice about it. Now, I'm not promoting gossip. I'm not promoting that it becomes a holy gossip line. But we need to be sharing. We need to be knowing more about each other and sharing our lives together so that we can act as one body instead of a collection of individuals. So he goes on. He wraps things up. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Just in case you missed it, his five other times he says it. You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And he should have put, is a valuable part of it. Verse 28, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now, wait a minute. We just got done saying that they were all equal. There's not one more valuable than another. He's not ranking them when he says first, second, third. He's kind of talking about them chronologically, the way things developed. God placed in the church first those men who were commissioned to go out into the different areas and to start making contact. Today we would call them church planters, those who would go out and start to get the word out to people about Jesus. Then prophets, those who would bring the word of God to those people. And third, teachers, those people who would then help people understand and apply the word of God so that they can start becoming disciples of Christ. Then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And I think he intentionally listed that one last, mostly because that was the one that they were bragging about. Those people who had the gift of tongues, they were the ones who were bragging a lot and indicating that they were somehow more spiritual than everybody else because they got those. But it's listed last. It is very special, and it's what we are acknowledging this week by celebrating Pentecost Sunday. We're reading in Acts, it's what John the Baptist prophesied about. It's what Jesus told his disciples about when he said, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then, of course, a few days later, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It wasn't a hurricane, it was just the sound of it. But a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, other discernible languages, as the Spirit enabled them. It's what goes along with what we've been reading in 1 Corinthians. The Spirit enabled them. The Spirit gave them that gift. And the Spirit gave them the gift of a specific kind of language so that many could hear. They had a dozen different languages that are at least listed here, a dozen different regions of people who were there who were utterly amazed because they could hear, declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Yes, it's a wonderful gift. It's just as wonderful as the gift of service, as the gift of encouragement, and so forth. But he's telling them that all of those are important. And yet, and so that you shouldn't dwell on just one or two of these specific gifts as they were trying to do. He asks a couple of rhetorical questions. The answer to all of these is no. You're welcome to answer if you like. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. Do we all have a gift? Okay, good. So then he says in verse 31, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." And you feel like, just like taking the palm to the forehead. Wait a minute, we just got done saying that they're all equal, they're all important. I think what he's trying to say there, first of all, is absolutely eagerly desire. Ask God for gifts. Ask him to give you a gift and to use you. And I think that's probably what the greater gift would be if it's not meant to be love, which we're going to get into next week. If he's just talking in general, it's the greatest gift is whatever God needs right now, whatever he needs you to do at the moment. So ask him, "God, I'm ready to be used. I'm asking you to use me, and I'm asking you to give me whatever gift I need in order to do that job." That's the greatest gift at the moment, the gift of the hour. So eagerly desire that greater gift. God's built unity into his church, but it's only going to happen when there is a diversity of ministry. I can't help but remind us how we have an empty block out there on that little diagram on the bulletin board. I mean, we are good shape as far as a representative in different areas of our church. We got our finances in order. We got somebody to take care of that. We got someone to take care of our fellowships, and we can have our potluck dinners and so forth. We've got groups. We are donating money to a couple of organizations, but we don't have anybody who has felt like they have been given the gift that will allow them to lead our outreach efforts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. That might be our greatest gift that we haven't received yet. I don't know. I mean, we're doing a good job. I love the table. We're reaching out in that way. We're feeding the community once a month. As I said, we're making donations to organizations. So we're doing some things. I'm not saying that, but I think we could eagerly desire a gift in that sense, because there's a part of our worship, a part of our service, part of our body where we're just kind of limping along. Maybe that's not fair. Not limping, but we could be running faster. How's that? Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They're energized by the Holy Spirit, and they are a gift. Remember that. You don't earn them. You don't deserve them. but you can eagerly desire them. It's purely through God's sovereign grace that a gift was ever given to you in the first place. And some individuals in the Corinthian church weren't content with the gifts that God gave them. They wanted different ones. Some were abusing the gifts they had been given. These gifts had become a source of pride for the church members. And for us, sometimes today, we feel like we don't have a gift. Or maybe we used it and we used it up, and we just don't have it anymore. But remember, every single one of you has at least one spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is a special tool in God's workshop that's used by the Holy Spirit to supernaturally touch the lives of other people. The church, one living organism, one functioning body, is most effective when it recognizes its unity through its diversity. We're going to sing about that in our final hymn. Now, our final hymn might sound a little bit like a kid's song, but it's just a simple song that shares Paul's message of unity through diversity. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able and join me in singing, "I Am the Church, You Are the Church." And feel free to have fun with this song as much as you would like. can't help but comment. I don't know how many of you remember rock songs of the 70s. They all did that with the baby, and the only thing that they could rhyme with that was, and I don't mean maybe. There are just so many rock tunes like that. Talking about I love you, baby, and I just don't mean maybe. But they're absolutely right. I count if I'm 99 or just a baby. We're all part of the church, and we all count, and we're all valuable parts, and we have gifts that we need to use. So may the Lord make you aware of your gifting. May he strengthen you to understand your gifting, and may he be blessed as you share your gifting with the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.